The scripture reading is from Luke 19:28 through 40. Let us listen to the word of God. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethpage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.' This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
So what are you going to dress up for Halloween?
Well, I've given it a lot of thought. I mean, I could be a ghost, or I could be a zombie, or Elvis, or...
Why Elvis?
Well, because he's the king of rock and roll, you know? But, Jenny, you know who the real king of rock and roll is?
Elvis?
No, Jesus.
Why is Jesus the real king of rock and roll?
Well, because, you know, Jesus is the rock and he rolls my blues away.
I never thought of that, Ellie. Jesus is my rock and he rolls my blues away. Bob, shoo up, I shoo up, woo! Jesus is my rock and he rolls my blues away. Bob, shoo up, I shoo up, woo! Jesus is the rock and he rolls my blues away. Bob, shoo up, I shoo up, woo!
Maybe if your parents like ate all of your Halloween candy or something. I mean, I would be really upset if that happened. But sometimes it's different. Sometimes it's like when someone's not very kind to us, or if, you know, something just really bad happens in our lives. But one of my favorite things, what that song really reminds me of, is in the Bible there's a story where they go to the tomb and Jesus be dead in the tomb. But instead, when they get there, there's this giant rock and it's rolled out of the way, and there is sitting an angel. And the angel says, "Fear not, he has risen." And see, we don't have to fear about bad things in our lives, like maybe that person who's mean or our parents eating our candy. We can just, you know, let God take care of that. So, if you can take your hands and wiggle your fingers, we'll do like one of those really good echo tricks that Pastor Warren does. Dear Lord, thank you for being our rock. Thank you for not letting us worry.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about rocks today, right? And how God is the rock. Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but my sermon's gonna get a little off topic of rocks. But if you just wait, we'll get back to it. So I have a story to tell you guys. As many of you know, I played on the girls' Crimson soccer team last year. And you also know my mom is a music teacher. So I love to sing and make music whenever I can. Well, last year, I had a really catchy song stuck in my head all day long. And soccer practice came around, and so I went out and I started to sing this song as loud as I could because it was stuck in my head and it was such a fun song to sing. Now, one of my teammates told me and asked me, "Jenny, why are you singing?" And I go, "Because I have a song in my heart." And she goes, "Well, maybe you should just keep it there." Now, when I first had this experience, I thought my teammate was being mean to me and a little bit rude. However, now I realize it's a really funny story. And then this last weekend, we had our retreat at Koinonia, and we read this scripture verse. It was Luke 19, 37 through 39. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice, for all the multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice from all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, even if these were silent, the stones would shout." So this scripture reminded me of the story I just told. The scripture reminds me that even if we're told to stop praising God, the rest of creation will praise God. Especially now that it's autumn is here, you can see God in many different places. You can see him in the pumpkin patch laying in the pumpkins. You can see him in the bright stars late at night on a hayride. And you can even see him in the corn and the harvest that he's given us. God made the whole earth and said it was good. So even when we are told to keep God's love in our heart, or we sing God's praises till our voices give out, God will always be praised by everything. Amen.
God rocks. I really love that theme this weekend. I mean, how can you not? It's like just the truth. God rocks. God rocks because he loves, and God rocks because he forgives. God rocks. The hardest thing about having God rock so much is sharing that with others. It can be so difficult to share the love that we've been given because it's so hard to describe and reenact. So what happens then? Trust me, I've been there. I have tried to share love and forgiveness with those who just don't understand why I am the way I am. They don't understand why I'm so persistent or have the patience I do. They are some kind of stranger to the love I have. Okay, so I've looked and looked for this quote out of the Book of Confessions, and I couldn't find it, but I couldn't forget what it spoke of. I read it over the summer, and it spoke of how God is the stranger. God is a stranger because God's love is in unfamiliar places and people. God's love is in the prisons and in the homeless. God's love is in the impoverished and in the hungry. But my thoughts on all of this is that leaves us, we don't know all of God's love because God is truly the stranger. This news might be extremely alarming to many full-hearted Christians out there who believe that they know who God is and what his love is truly like. But the truth is that we too have hearts of stone. Again, this seems like alarming news, but not to worry, because the Lord says to the Israelites in Ezekiel that I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. So how do we allow God's love into our hearts? How do we remove our hearts of stone and replenish it to the flesh? God also says that I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. And he also says, I will put a new spirit, my spirit, in you and move you to follow my decrees. This may seem trickier than it sounds. God isn't just going to come into our hearts and magically give us the kind of heart we should have. Rather, we must accept him. We must accept the stranger. We must open our hearts to the people we do not understand and the places that we are scared to go. Don't think this has to be drastic. It could mean inviting a friend to church that you may not think would attend. It could mean praying for someone who you struggle with, but knowing that they have struggles of their own. It could also mean volunteering in a food pantry or another service that our community provides. This can be scary, but it can also be encouraging and fun. This year, I've watched a lot of my senior friends graduate, and it was extremely rough at first, but I thought of this as the perfect time to get to know strangers. One friend I met this year, she was an exchange student, and I've loved having her on the cross-country team. She's been really kind to me. And I've met other new friends and classes that were mistakenly put in my schedule. But what really I learned was that the people I thought I knew were actually the people I knew the least. For example, I thought I knew my teammates on the cross-country team, but this year I feel as though I am much more united with them than years past, and I've gotten to learn a lot of different things about them that I would have never known. And as many of my friends have changed, I've become extremely close with those who've attended youth group. And just when I thought I understood them, I didn't. I was a stranger to the kind of love and fulfillment they provide. They continue to surprise me by introducing God's love in entirely new ways. So see, even I am a stranger in the places that I think I seem to know. So yes, God rocks, and we know that. So why don't we show others how much he means to us, even if they don't quite understand? Because most times than not, you will find that God's love is already there and will continually surprise you. So don't be a stranger and rock on. Amen.